Julia, is there anybody here who doesn't know Julia? One or two. So I think you better say how long you've been here and how long you've been away and why before you start. Would you like to do that?
Yes, a quick introduction. First of all, can you hear me? Is that in the right place? Okay, that's good. Okay. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Julia, and it seems like a long, long time ago, I was sent out by St. John's Church to work in Thailand with a mission organisation called OMF International. And sort of before I went, I guess my sort of association with St. John's Church, my parents bought a house in Tunbridge Wells the year I went to university. And that's when Tunbridge Wells became probably more home than anywhere else. Partly because my parents worked in Africa when I was a child. So I'd had quite a nomadic lifestyle with flying backwards and forwards from Nigeria to the UK, and I was at boarding school. So I can't say I really had those deep roots of being in one place with moving around quite a lot. But yeah, Tunbridge Wells sort of became home for that time in my life. And then just sort of university holiday, just sort of just after I finished university, really, I started coming to St. John's. And then a few years later, I was back in Tunbridge Wells, having worked at a Christian outdoor centre in Scotland and thinking about going on to do teacher training. So I sort of had a 6-month slot in Tunbridge Wells, and I was doing some temp work, and I was had the wonderful privilege of being in the WINS home group. And actually, that was quite important because I got to know them and others, and they were leading the mission team when I felt God's call to go and serve in Thailand, and they already knew who I was. And so just seeing how God worked through things like that was really encouraging. And various other people that were in that home group at the time as well. So, yeah, I've been serving in Thailand for the last 24 years and now back in the UK. Normally when I'm back, it's just for what we call home assignment, a short home assignment. And I'm expecting to go back to Thailand. But this time I'm sort of back for, I'm not going to say for good, because the door's open. At some point, if God wants and makes it clear that I should go back to Thailand, I'm quite happy to do that. I'd be very happy to go back. But for this time, I do feel it's time to be back closer to my mother in England. So that's the main reason that I'm not expecting to go back in the autumn and staying in England. So I'm not sure exactly what I'll be doing, but trusting God for whatever's next. But today, I'm just going to share with you some things that the Lord's put on my heart to share with you today. If you have questions at the end about other things that I've done in Thailand, which I'm not maybe specifically going to share today, do feel free to ask. But I put this verse up because just a couple of weeks ago I was sharing with the young children in ARC, and you may know or you may not that they've been going through the book of Acts. And there's this wonderful verse in Acts, "For so the Lord has commanded us," that's Paul and Barnabas, saying, "I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." So Paul and Barnabas had this specific call to go to the Gentiles and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. And I had a very specific call to go to Asia. And I didn't, to begin with, I didn't know where in Asia, but through a trip and just a real sense of God's leading to serve in Thailand. And what I want to share about today particularly is when we think about mission, overseas mission particularly, but not just mission overseas, it can be mission across the street, down the road to people who are coming to the UK. I just wanted to share a bit more about some of the themes involved in sharing with other people, and particularly prayer. This is a booklet that OMF produces to get people involved with mission. And there's 6 ways to reach the world. learn about places, pray, inspire people, go yourself, welcome people who come here, or send. And St. John's has been a fantastic sending church. You may know that this church really wants people in Tunbridge Wells to hear the gospel, but not just in Tunbridge Wells, further afield as well. And there's a good number of us who've been sent out by this church. And then in terms of welcome, I think St. John's is a welcoming church, but there are things like the Global Cafe running to welcome international people who are in Tunbridge Wells so that they have the opportunity to hear the gospel. People like me and many others who've gone further afield to the mission, into overseas mission. But today, what I really want to focus on is learning a little bit more about Thailand, and particularly that topic of pray, because all of you here, and many of you already are, can be involved in praying for God's work. And so that's the theme that I'm going to focus on today. But first of all, I just want to talk about Thailand a little bit, because when we want to pray for that country, it really helps if we understand a bit more about the situation there. So in terms of praying for the ends of the earth, and in particular Thailand, I'm just going to show a few slides and just see if we can see something of the context of Thailand. So I don't know if anyone knows what's going on in this picture. And turn the lights off on the front would be great. Yeah. Can you see what might be happening in that photo? Any ideas? Have a bit of interaction. Yeah, there's rice definitely involved in several bowls. It's not the feeding of the 5,000. So it's actually at a temple. And on certain days when people go to the temples, so Thailand's mainly a Buddhist country, one way of making merit or doing good is to give rice to the monks. So people, actually I know the two people in this picture because they are domestic staff, they work at our centre, they're Buddhist. They go to the temple and just literally put a bit of rice in that bowl, a bit of rice in that bowl, etc., all round. And that's one way that they believe of doing good, of making merit, so that their next life would be a better life. So that's what most Thai people are doing. They're trying to just do good, be a good person. Most of them think they are good people, doing good things. Making merit so that their next life will be better because they believe in karma. This is something you might see in a supermarket. This was taken in Tesco that used to exist in Thailand, doesn't anymore. It's orange buckets. Whenever you see the colour orange, it's safe to assume it's something that could be something to do with Buddhism. So orange buckets in the supermarket. Any ideas what it might be for? Each bucket has got things like toothpaste, soap, it could have matches, basic supplies, washing powder, etc. So these are things that could be taken to the temple to give to the monks. So basic supplies for the monks. Again, another way of making merit. Any ideas? The young people said, sandcastles, big sandcastles. So they are made out of sand. And in this, what we call a stupa type form, and you often see these stupas in temple grounds, but these ones particularly are by the coast, they've made them there. But this is a tradition in some parts of Thailand by the coast at Thai New Year, And again, it's another way of making merit. They make these very ornate sand castles. And the idea behind it is that when people go to the temple and then go out again, they're probably removing some of the sand from the temple grounds on their feet, on their shoes, etc. And so once a year, one way of making merit is to bring sand back to the temple grounds. So you'll get this sort of thing, and could get one in the temple grounds. And the idea is that they, you know, make beautiful ones. There might even be a competition as to which is the nicest one. But it's idea again of making merit, bringing sand back to the temple grounds. So this is, it's not so clear on there, I'm sorry. It's wax. This is carved out of wax. And this is a very ornate one. And again, it's being paraded through the town. There's some, I think, on floats behind that one. And again, it's probably a competition. But people will spend hours carving this ornate display. It's made from wax. Some temples, it might just be that people go along and pour a bit of molten wax into various molds to make candles. Okay, but here they've been carved very ornately. And this is at the beginning of Buddhist Lent, which is a time when the monks spend 3 months in the temple grounds and they don't go out, so that they're not trampling on rice fields or whatever. They stay in the temple grounds. And if you think back to the times before electricity, the monks would need candles so that they could read later in the evening and study, etc. So one way of making offerings, again, was to give candles to the monks. That's another way of making merit. These are young novices. Well, they're the boys, actually, that you will have heard of, I'm sure, who got stuck in the cave when that was that terrible flooding incident, and the rescue of the boys from the cave and their coach. Now, there's one boy who's not in that, because of all those boys, there's one Christian. But the rest of the boys went into the temple for 9 days as novices, in order to give honour to the one person who died in the rescue. So there was one ex-Navy SEAL who died. So it was, the idea was to give honour to him, and also for a sort of spiritual cleansing after that incident when they were in the cave. This is something that you could just see walking through the market. That's where I took this photo. Often you'll see things like this. It's just some sticks made to look like a tree with money on it. And again, another way of making merit or doing good. And in front is a saffron robe that could be given to a monk. But the sign actually says that the temple's trying to raise money for a sort of building project for, I think it's a stupa in the temple grounds. So it's another way of making merit. I've just got two more. So some of you who've had my prayer letters may have seen a picture like this before. Any ideas what these are? There's flowers on them. So the idea is it's a float. Each one of those is decorated beautifully, but it's a float. There might be a candle on it, joss sticks, flowers. Sometimes people put coins on. And this is one of the beliefs in the country, that at Loy Gratong, which is one of the festivals, you put a float into the river. You float it away, and there's a tradition of asking for forgiveness from the spirit of the river for maybe pollution in the river, but also this idea that you can float away your sins. So that's the context of that. Any ideas what this is? It's worn on a chain, That's the clue. So it's actually a little amulet of a sitting Buddha, and that would be worn round the neck. This is one that was up for auction, some vast expense, but people will wear amulets. And this really is the folk Buddhism rather than the sort of what we'd call pure Buddhism, where people really are afraid and so they want something to protect them. And so the idea of wearing something like this around your neck, an amulet, is for protection. Thai people are very afraid of spirits. So that's something we see quite often. Anyone been to Bangkok? You might have seen. This is the reclining Buddha, which is just one of the enormous Buddha images that can be seen in Bangkok. Sometimes when I'm driving along a road, I'll just see a huge, absolutely huge, colossal Buddhist idol image. This is the reclining one. So that's just to give you some of the context of what it's like in Thailand, some of the beliefs, some of the things that we can pray into. Thais really believe that they have to do everything themselves. There's no message of grace in Buddhism. And I like it when I come across verses in the Bible that just remind us about how wrong these things are that we see, like the idols. So this is probably one of my favorite ones about idols in the Bible. I just, when I came across it, I thought, oh yes, this one really fits. Their idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field, and they cannot speak. They have to be carried, for they cannot walk. And it just makes me very sad when I see, you know, people bowing down or worshipping something made by human hands that's obviously not able, no power in itself, can't walk, as this verse says, cannot speak. What I'm praying for, my prayer for Thai people is always that they'll have an opportunity to hear another, the other message, the gospel message, and that will make sense to them, that they'll realize that they can't be good enough, that they can't do it all themselves, that they'll understand their need for a savior. And what I really would like to focus on today is how we can be involved in praying for other countries and other places. One of my sort of favorite Hudson Taylor quotes, Hudson Taylor started the CIM, which was the China Inland Mission, which became OMF, and always had a real focus on prayer, which obviously we should have because Jesus taught us to pray that his kingdom would come and his will be done. And I was just reflecting and thinking about the whole topic of prayer. And I just think, you know, it's just amazing that, you know, God asks us just to pray, bring things to him, and then he will do the work. And I think that's really what that quote really highlights. Learn to move man. We can't work in people's hearts and minds. You know, we can't change their thoughts and their thinking. But God can. Through his spirit, he's at work in different situations, in people's hearts and minds. So learn to move man through God by prayer alone. Not all of us can go, but we can all pray, and we should all be praying. And when I think about prayer, one of the things that struck me when I was much younger about prayer was, you know, some people write beautiful prayers. I mean, Roger's prayers on a Sunday, I mean, are just always a blessing to me because of the crafting of the words, you know. And Keith just prayed a lovely prayer at the start of this session this morning. And I love actually reading other people's prayers. It's very easy to get hold of books with prayers in them. But then also I think of God hears and accepts any prayers, all of our prayers. They can just be simple prayers. And I'm always reminded by, you know, Brother Lawrence. He just prayed when he was washing up. And I actually really like that, because I'm not the best person at, you know, like specifically sitting or kneeling, but I love to pray when I'm out walking, or I love to pray just when I'm doing washing up. I don't have a dishwasher, okay? Washing up is just great, because, you know, I just love to pray as people come to mind. And that's the thing I love about prayer, that we can just do it at any time, any place, and we've got this communion with God. We've got this ability to bring things to him, and that God will be at work, even if we can't be there. We can't be in that situation. So just encourage us to pray more. Pray without ceasing is one of the things it says in the Bible. And I was explaining to the children, because they'd just gone through Acts, that afterwards we get all of Paul's letters, you know, lots of letters in which Paul encourages people to pray for him. He asked for prayer, and he also encouraged them that he was praying for them in their walk with the Lord. And so just a couple of the verses that I picked out from some of the letters. Paul writes, "Pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ." You know, sometimes we, when we're on the mission field, we just feel like, oh, we're just hitting our heads against a brick wall, and it's just hard going. Yeah, we depend on God to be opening those doors for the word, for the opportunities, for the contacts, and we can all pray into that. And just a reminder, I urge that prayers be made for all people. God wants everyone to come into his kingdom. God, our Saviour, desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So I thought what I would do with you today is to just share a story of a real answer to prayer. And this was written by one of our missionaries. So it was written as a children's story book. And so I've got some pictures that go with it. But ultimately what it is just God at work in answer to prayer. So it's called Ian and the Giant Leafy Obstacle. So just to start with, do you believe that God answers prayer? Do you believe that God can move mountains? And this is the story of Ian, who worked in northern Thailand, preaching and teaching to people who had never heard the gospel. One day, driving home after preaching, he came across an enormous log that was in the road, and it was just too big for the men to move. What should he do? There was rain coming. Then one of the believers there suggested they prayed. Ian remembered that he'd been teaching them about the power of God. And so he prays, asking the Lord to move the log so that they can get safely home. But when he opens his eyes, the log is still there. And then a man invites him to come and preach at his village. So since they can't go the way that they wanted to go to get back home, they went back to this other man's village. They all are climbing in the Land Rover to go to this different village. And so they set off. And often in northern Thailand, the roads aren't very good, especially in those days. And there can be rivers running down the road, so it's excellent to have a Land Rover. There might be obstacles in the way. But they go and they get to the village. And again, Ian has opportunity to share the good news and to preach to a different village where people haven't heard. And then off they set to go back. He's still hoping, obviously, for an answer to that prayer. But the log is still there. And so he needs to pray again. When he opens his eyes this time, there's a strange-looking man there. The old crooked man asks Ian what they're doing and Ian explains the problem. Then this man laughs and disappears into the forest. A few moments later, he returns with an elephant. And he explains how he owns 5 elephants. One of them had wandered off 3 days ago at exactly the time that Ian started to pray. So the man had followed his elephant through the jungle for 3 days, walking in a straight line as if being led. The man slept in the trees at night and hadn't had any food for 2 days. Finally, the elephant stopped right there. The man had heard the voices of Ian and the others and came to ask for food. So the elephant was able to move the log. And so Ian was able to go home down the mountain, reflecting that God really does answer prayer and work all things together for our good. Because of the log, a new village had heard the gospel, and God had actually sent the elephant as soon as Ian had asked for it and had kept them safe all along the way. Written as a children's story, but just one great illustration of the amazing thing God does do to answer our prayers. And I'm sure many of you will have read other amazing answers to prayer in maybe some of the mission biographies that are available. So, I would encourage you to just like read some mission biographies. I think it's my favorite genre of literature because I really get excited reading about what God's done in answer to prayers. This one in particular, I can give this one away if anyone would like it afterwards. It's 40 or so, maybe more than 40, about 40 stories from China Inland Mission of how God was at work in different places, different situations, and just lots and lots of answers to prayer. So I've really been encouraged by reading mission biographies over the years. And I wanted to share with you some sort of current answers to prayer that I've even received this week. So Nam Wan, who's the lady in the middle there, has just finished working with us, but she's been one of the cleaners working in Lopburi, where I've been. And she's from a Buddhist family, and we've been praying for her for many years. She's a lovely leader, lady. She's our best. She was our best cleaner. Everyone was always excited if they had her as their cleaner. And then the other people in the picture, this is Nun, who's I've worked with for several years. And then Nui is also working with us in our team. They're both Christians and have been for a long time. But Nam Wan has, I would say, a husband who's quite anti-Christianity, but she's been interested for a while, but I just heard this week that she's believed, so we can be praying for her to keep growing in faith. Nam Wan means sweet water, so that's the meaning of her name, Nam Wan, to pray for her to grow as a Christian and for her husband and daughter as well. And again, she's in this picture on the left, but the other lady, Jill, also works for us in Lopburi, and I've just heard that she's also believed as well. So, you know, just to hear in 1 week of 2 people coming to faith, it has been really exciting. And we've all been praying for them. So just God at work in their hearts and their minds, helping them to understand the truth of the gospel, which is just so different from Buddhism. But then there are many other people that we have contact with. We sow the seed and we pray that they will understand that God will be at work in their hearts and minds. But we don't always see that fruit immediately. So just a couple of some pictures of different contacts that I've had with people in Lopburi where you don't always get an opportunity to say a lot or to, but you can give a tract to them and pray and hope that they will read it. And then we know that, you know, one person might sow and then another person has an opportunity to connect with them. And sometimes I've seen that, you know, with how God's been at work in people's hearts with different stages of their life, different contacts until they've understood the good news. But this lady I met in the market, she and her husband were selling lettuces I went along to the market one day and her husband wasn't there, and he always knew me as the woman who didn't want plastic bags. Because if you're ever in Thailand, if you go to a market, you just given so many plastic bags, like everything comes in a plastic bag. And I would always say, I've got mine, I don't need any more. So they just knew me as the woman who doesn't need plastic bags. But one day I went along and he wasn't there. And she told me, sadly, he just died that week of a heart attack. And so I just really felt for her because she's young and she's got a young child. And there she was just a few days later, still needing to sell lettuces at the market because, you know, she needs the income. She had other family members with her supporting her. But yeah, so just the next week I was able to give her a gift and give her a tract. And Nun, my colleague, also knows her. And so I just pray that something of what I gave her will have been read, but I don't know. But because, you know, I've got that photo, I will keep praying for her. Just keep praying that she'll have other opportunities to hear the gospel. Pat and Yim are the ladies at the photocopy shop that we use. And you might be able to see in the background of that photo, there's a lot of Buddhist paraphernalia on the shelves. And that's often the case when you go into a shop or a home. But yeah, I've known them for several years. Again, give out a tract. But they're fairly strict Buddhists, I think. This lady is in the market. She does repairs, sewing repairs, and her husband is also there. They're very, very friendly, very welcoming. A lot of our new workers have gone and spoken to them just for conversation practice in learning Thai. They've heard quite a lot from different people, but still quite strong Buddhists. So. Sometimes names in Thai are difficult, but if you remember, just Lord, touch the sewing lady, touch the lettuce lady. And this is Nut. She was my neighbour when I was first living in Lopburi, and she was a student at the time. She's now an English teacher. I've known her for 14 years. You know, we would go and exercise together. We'd walk along the canal. She loved to practice her English with me, but seems quite, close to the gospel, but still just praying for Nut. And then there are other people like this wonderful family who are Christians, most of them, but not the girl to the right of me. So that's Hua Chi, and I'm still praying for her. They are Hmong tribal, actually came from Laos, so into Thailand, to live in Thailand, because of persecution of Christians in Laos. So they've fled from Laos, living in Thailand. And there are many Christians among the Hmong tribal group, but you don't just assume, do we? We never assume that everyone in a family is going to come to faith. So whilst the parents are Christians and Gao Nu is their daughter, she's definitely a believer. Hua Chi's her cousin. I've met with her over several years. Not sure that she's walking with the Lord. So continuing just to pray for her. So lots of different contacts. Just come back to that quote. Learn to move man through God by prayer alone. We can all be praying. And I just wanted to finish really with some just general suggestions for praying for people on the mission field as they have opportunities and contacts. Just praying for those opportunities for good conversations, for those open doors, for the different contacts that we have with people we meet, whether it literally is the people at the photocopy shop, the people in the market, and also obviously for our Thai friends and their contacts, and then for bold evangelism and wisdom in what Christians say. For the Thai believers, they do feel they're such a minority that it's really hard when to be Thai is to be Buddhist. But it's really along family lines. As people become believers, then they have the opportunity to share with their families and with their neighbours. So, for example, the lady I just showed... let's go back. Namwan and Jill. Now that they've just become believers, for their contacts and their families, just really praying along family lines. Praying always for receptivity, people's hearts, that they'll have interest, that they'll see the way the Christians live their lives and want to know more about how they're living their lives and trusting in Jesus, not making merit, not going to the temple and just relying on doing good. Always good to pray for protection from the evil one. Thai people are quite afraid of spirits, and that's why wearing the amulets, etc. And the devil doesn't want anyone to come to know the truth, so praying for protection for Christians, and that they'll keep walking with the Lord, a close walk with the Lord. May they have hope, continue to walk and trust in hope and have peace and joy, overflowing with hope. So there are lots of other things that you could be praying for. Of course, just a show of hands maybe, how many people receive a specific prayer letter from one of the mission partners? Quite a few. But I think just to say that really helps to have informed prayers, because these are some general things, but it's really helpful to get specific prayer points. I feel that really helps to pray into situations. One of the things that I do is to use an app on my phone, and sometimes it's like writing a list, really. You can do it with a piece of paper. Remind myself by having a list of the people. This one just helps me to have different people to pray for every day, but I also get a feed from like OMF or Open Doors with specific prayer requests, and that really helps me. One of the things I've been using recently to pray, and this is from Open Doors, is the World Watch List. It's 50 countries with the most, the countries that have most persecuted Christians are in. And that's just got lots of good information and has really helped me to pray for persecuted Christians. I found that really, really helpful. So there's so many good resources to help us in our prayers, and I found that really helpful. I've got a few leaflets here if anybody wants to help themselves, and even just like reading some of the stories, because that helps to give you information and inspire you to pray. So I would recommend those. Come and help yourselves. There's a few other leaflets there. Yeah, but has anyone got any questions? Yes. Harder, definitely. Good observation. The churches generally have more women in, I would say. It's harder. I would say it's harder to reach the men. So big prayer request. At the moment, right now, as we speak, I'm specifically thinking about men. Right now, as we speak, there's a soccer outreach going on to young so that particularly boys in schools, and there's a short-term mission team going round playing soccer in different soccer, they call it soccer, football, in different schools. And so, yeah, just where there are churches to reach out to the young people in the schools locally. Yeah, so they've got some women on the football team now, but it always used to be just the men. But obviously it does tend to attract more boys, young men. So yeah, we could pray for that. Yeah. So I think the opportunity to eat a brilliant diet is there in Thailand because there's so much fresh fruit and vegetables, etc. Some of the problems, Thais love this combination of sweet, sour, chili, whatever. So there's a lot of sugar in the diet. Diabetes is a real problem in Thailand now. Even like getting something like yogurt, when I eat it, I just know it's so sweet. It's really sweet. So you have to intentionally eat the right things, I think. Yeah. I don't think it's as strong, but I wouldn't say there's no animosity. So in my experience, I think it's slightly easier in this day and age for people who become Christians in Thailand. It's partly because the constitution allows freedom of religion, but people still say to be Thai is to be Buddhist. But there's been more well-known Thais who've become Christians, so celebrities, like well-known singers and things. And so I think there's more acceptance now. So she became a believer as a schoolgirl, Bube, and she said her mother gave her complete freedom to believe what she wanted to believe, and so she didn't have any problems. When I worked with students before in Phitsanulok, one of the students there, it was just really difficult within her family. So her family were all Buddhist and didn't want her to be a Christian. And she found that tough, but yeah. But there isn't, it's not sort of violent, I wouldn't say, no. So it's, yeah. They're not burning down churches or anything like that, no. Yes, sorry.
I think you partly answered this question, but grace rather than works is such a contradiction, it would seem, to the Thai way of doing things.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. I think they just grow up with this ingrained do good, do good, do good. And I don't think, yeah, anyone can come to faith unless the Spirit's at work in their hearts and minds, just realizing what a gift the Lord Jesus is to us in terms of doing it all for us, taking that pain, that suffering, that's all of our sin on himself. So we proclaim the message, we share the message, but that's God's work.
You've got that there as well, haven't you, prayer?
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. Okay. I love the fresh markets. I'm in my happy place when I'm walking around the fresh markets. And it's also the people, though, because, you know, I buy my mushrooms from that van. So it's part of the experience of just walking around. The people I guess I stand out, you know, as a foreigner, you do. So they're, oh, here she comes, sort of thing. But so, yeah, just people greet you really nicely. And, yeah, I just really like the fresh markets. And I don't mind spending a little bit of extra time, you know, walking around. Yeah. So I miss the markets. Yeah, Sainsbury's is cold. Oh, my goodness. Sainsbury's, you need to go in with a fleece on. Because of the fridges and the freezers and everything else. It's just, I find it so cold when I have to remember, oh yeah, you're going to Sainsbury's to put an extra fleece on. What I appreciate about the UK, that hymn that we sang at the beginning, is wandering through woods. And, you know, when I wander through, so I love the woods in the UK, specifically bluebell time, but I love oak woodland, I love the countryside, I love our footpaths, I love, whereas in Thailand it was too hot to really walk, you don't have the nice footpaths we have. You come to appreciate Ordnance Survey maps and footpaths and just beautiful woodland. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, tropical woodland is nice, but yeah, oak woodland. okay, so I haven't tried them all to compare, but I did just go for Thai food on Sunday in Southborough at the Thai Orchid. I think it's Thai Orchid restaurant. Just a point about culture. When you go in there, I just thought, oh, this is so Thai. Has anyone been there to the Thai restaurant in Southborough? You walk in and the roof, the ceiling in the restaurant is completely covered with artificial flowers, like the whole ceiling. And I just thought, oh, this is quite Thai. I don't think a British person would appreciate it quite so much, but it is quite typically Thai. Yes. Okay. So it's varied over the 24 years, but for the last 14 years, I've been running the Language and Culture Training Center for our new missionaries. So it's like running a school, basically. So timetabling, in order for our new people to have lessons with Thai teachers, and a lot of assessment. So they're learning one-to-one with Thai people. That's how it should be, because they need to hear Thai people speaking correctly. I still make mistakes. but at the end of sort of every book, we call them modules, that they're learning, they'll have a bit of a review and an assessment check. So I've spent a lot of time sitting in, listening to see how much progress people are making, just to be able to encourage them, point out things they need to keep working on. And yeah, so I've done a lot of assessment, working with the teachers and the learners, encouraging them. So motivation's a big thing in language learning, just to keep going. Yeah, and so running the language school has been my main thing during the week. And then Sundays, being alongside the Thai Christians, helping in the Thai church, particularly over the years, I've done quite a lot in the Sunday school. Or one of the photos I showed the family, so Gao Nu and Hua Chi, I've taught them English quite a bit in the afternoons, and also just prayed with them and then played games and had fun, because they didn't know how... where they were going to be living in the future. One time they were thinking UN might be able to help them get to another country, but don't think that's going to happen now. But at the time I thought, well, if they do get to live in another country, they're probably going to need to speak English. So the way I could help them was to help them with their English. But it became much more than that, much more of a just to be a Christian friend, auntie. Yeah.
Go on all day, I think. Julia, it's a very foreign place, isn't it?
Mm. Totally. Oh, yes, I didn't answer that. That was in the question somewhere, wasn't it?
Yeah, totally different from what we are used to. I just wondered, as a final thing, you could give us a sample of Thai language.
Oh, yes.
It's very peculiar, isn't it?
Let me pray in Thai. How about that?
Yes, yes.
How about that? Let me pray. I'm going to pray in Thai. Okay. Kade prabhidao chao pu sung sut. Rao san sern yok yong pranam kong prong. Koprakun prong. Ti rao ben luk kong prong. Rao rujak prajao leo. De rao ruwa mi lai lai kon nai bratet tai. Ti yang mai rujak prajao. Ko prajao song bert da jai kao doi. Hai kao rujak prajao let rak prajao. Yak cha fa kon tai tuk kon wai gat praong. Nai pranam pra yesu prajao. Amen.